Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to MTS Center, where the Winnipeg Jets have just defeated the Toronto Maple Leafs by a 2-1 margin. I'm the host of the Illegal Curve post-game podcast, Drew Mindell, joined in the press box by my colleague, Richard Pollock. Richard, good evening, first of all.
Good evening, Drew.
An important win for the Jets. It was a game that they must have had, and they did manage to pull it off. A really sort of an entertaining 2-1 contest here tonight.
It was. The Leafs tend to play an entertaining style, Drew, and that's one thing that I was mentioning to somebody before the game. You know, they may be actually this afternoon. They might be the Leafs still, and they're not a top echelon team. But they're playing. If they're winning, it's exciting. If they're losing, it's exciting. And if you're going to play in the National Hockey League, you know, at least make it exciting. And they do that. And there's a lot of speed in their game, and we'll talk about that in a bit.
Absolutely. Might as well get right underway. The Leafs opened the scoring at the 11:06 mark of the first period. Phil Kessel, 30-goal scorer for, I think, about the fifth straight year now, or maybe a fourth straight year at the very least. Phil Kessel with his 30th on the year assist to Joffrey Lupo and Tyler Bozak. Kessel comes in down the left-hand side of the ice, crosses over in the middle, and takes a wrist shot, and he beats Andre Pavlik, who was moving from his right to left across the crease. Nice shot by Kessel. Just a goal scorer's goal, really.
Kessel has a good shot. He a quick release is very fast, and he causes problems for obviously the opposing defenders. Bufflin and Enstrom in that play, I think, were at fault. That was a matchup, actually.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What happened there was Bufflin sort of got caught at the offensive blue line.
Right.
Joffrey Lupo chips it past him, sort of a bank pass to himself. Lupo comes and passes it up to Kessel, and that's when Kessel one-on-one against
Enstrom.
Against Enstrom, and then he gets Pavlik moving and takes the shot and goes sort of crosses Pavlik up with the
Enstrom
shot.
Would have liked to probably seal that. Now, the problem with Kessel, of course, is that when you're an opposing defender, he's so fast that you can't be too aggressive. But Enstrom's a very good skater. Enstrom probably wants to get rid of that gap a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
Just a millisecond too late, Kessel gets that shot away and goal on Pavlik. But as you mentioned, Bufflin kind of sets up Enstrom to fail there a bit, and that's that risk-reward that you get. And overall, I think that pairing tonight against that line, I mean, they gave up some significant chances. Obviously, they gave up the goal, but they also create chances. And you know,
it's high risk, high reward.
It's high risk, high reward, and they probably had more reward in terms of some chances today than risk. But
yeah, but you were sort of surprised, and you were mentioning it during the game, that you were surprised that it was the Bufflin-Enstrom line matched up against the Kessel line for the most part. You thought Bogosian, you thought that might have been a better matchup for the Jets.
Yeah, Drew, I did, just because I think the line of Lupul, Bozak, and Kessel is not an overly physical line. I mean, I think that Kessel obviously also, I think, plays poorly against physical contact. I think what happened was you put Enstrom and Bufflin against them, and I just think Bufflin obviously isn't skating as well. I don't think he's as fast. Maybe he could be, but he still, you know, he skates well, just he's a bigger guy.
Sure.
And Enstrom, I thought that line would, you know, gives away a little bit of speed and the movement would cause trouble, especially because their coverage. They're not so great on coverage. And that line, the Kessel line, in the offensive zone really works well off movement.
Very nice cycle that Kessel, Lupo, and Bozak have created for themselves.
And the way Bufflin loses focus and things like that, and Enstrom has to cover, and Enstrom's not the best defensively either, at least not bad at all, that causes issues. Whereas with Bogosian, you add a speed element that you can take away the outside. You also had a physical element. Not that Bufflin's not physical. He is. But Bogosian's more physical.
Right.
He's obviously a tremendous skater. And then you put him with Haynes, who I thought played a really nice game tonight. And, you know, it ended up working fine. Just I thought that would be a different – that would be maybe more preferable matchup. But at the same time, we should mention that the Bogosian-Haynes matchup, they basically played – I mean, they shut down the
Grabowski,
Kuhlman, and MacArthur. I mean,
absolutely.
A couple times Kuhlman got speed and Grabowski had speed. MacArthur, I thought, was fairly invisible tonight. But you shut down that line. Hey, Grabowski is coming off some big games. He's playing really well. And so that worked out, you know, worked out to the team's benefit.
Well, I want to talk about Mark Stewart for a second. He plays with Zach Bogosian. We both thought that Mark Stewart played probably his most solid game. Mark Stewart always plays a good game, but sometimes he's more noticeable than other times for how well he played. Today he was quite noticeable in how he was physical, and he just played a very strong defensive game in his own zone.
I think I spoke about the combinations then earlier, but Stewart, I thought Stewart had a great game. He was physical, he was strong on the puck, he took some, he would hit it in the neutral zone, he's being physical in his own zone, he got in the way, he just played a really strong, solid game. He adds a nice element to the team, shot blocking, everything like that. You know, that overall the team lacks, and he is that element. And I thought he brought it tonight. Drew, you needed an intense effort.
Yeah.
You needed this game. You needed this game, and the leaders need to come to play, and they need to show they're playing. They don't always need to put points on the board as much. They need to show that they're there. And Stewart doesn't, you know, he actually almost scored on there was a delayed penalty there where he faked the shot in the offensive zone, and he came in and he almost scored. But overall, I thought that he set the tone, and that is, you know, the team gets up for that.
They feed off his energy.
Exactly.
And everything
they feed
else.
Off his energy, and yeah. They feed off his competitiveness. I thought he really played a nice game.
I agreed wholeheartedly there. The Jets tied the game after the Leafs opened the scoring 3 minutes and 10 seconds later. Chris Thorburn with his second of the year with assists to Zach Bogosian and Jim Slater. Thorburn coming down the left wing. Really looked like it should have been a more or less a harmless backhand. Probably a goal Jonas Gustafsson wants to have back. But, you know, Thorburn was coming with speed down the wing when he drove the net hard, and he flipped it past Gustafsson under his arm.
Slater made that pass to Bogosian, who's just so quick out of the zone, and he came with speed. He made a nice pass to Thorburn, hit him in motion. Thorburn came down the side with his strength, strong guy, good skater, backhand, put the puck on net. Scoring chance. Should it have been saved by Gustafsson? Yeah, if you're a Leafs fan, you're saying, hey, you got to have that. But few things can go wrong when you're skating with speed towards the net and you're putting the puck on.
That's right. They're, I mean, they're,
both goals. I mean, we'll talk about the second goal in a second.
Yeah.
It came off the left side.
That's right.
With speed, driving the puck to the net.
And
we'll talk about the rebound in a second. The other one's a backhand that maybe isn't the best shot. He doesn't, you know, this is a whole messy goal. Just not only putting the puck on net only means so much. It's where you're putting the puck on net from.
And you're doing it, if you're coming in with speed, it's a lot more intimidating on a goaltender than
also
if, because, I mean, you know, Thorburn doesn't flip the backhand. He does have the option of sort of trying to drag it to his forehand. He probably gets cut off there, and it's not the move you'd expect from him. But just by having that speed, the goaltender has to keep it in the back of his mind.
I would bet you a lot of money that Claude Noel went into that practice, or whoever it may be, Pascal Vincent or Charlie Huddy, excuse me, came into practice over the last couple of days and said, hey, we have to stop being stagnant with our game. The Jets have been standing around a lot in their own zone for the breakouts. They haven't been playing with as much speed. And they can learn something because Toronto plays with speed better than any team I've seen this year. Absolutely better than any team. The way they create speed with their formations, and that sounds like a football term, but they do. And obviously they have good skaters.
One pass out of their own zone and
just
gone.
But the speed is there to meet the puck. But the Jets today didn't stand still. And when you don't stand still in your own zone, you'll notice that the Leafs weren't able to really set their forechecks up, and they're and counteracting the breakouts because the Jets were always moving, and Bogosian was a huge factor in that, in his speed. He got the puck, he didn't stop and take a look, he kept skating, and that's what happens. You skate to create the space. The space isn't going to create itself, and when the puck's moving with speed, it's hard to, the other team's got to react to that, and then you can react to their reactions as opposed to letting them dictate it. And that's the whole dictating the pace. That the Jets did a good job of that today. They didn't let the Leafs get comfortable, and you know, I thought that the game for the most part was fairly even. But the Jets will take their chances at home in a fairly even game.
Absolutely. You should expect to win that. I mean, what you notice, this is only, I think, the ninth or tenth game all year that the Jets have had their top six defensemen play at the same time in the lineup.
Yeah.
And you notice how solid they were in their own zone. I mean, the first passes were coming out very quickly. All three lines, you know, all three defensive pairings were ready and able to make their first passes, and they left the zone pretty well.
No, for a fact, Hainsey was playing with Bogosian tonight. I was correct earlier. So Hainsey was playing with Bogosian. Stewart was playing with Odia, just to correct that, so for listeners. By the way, Hainsey, I'll say this. You know, Odia drops the gloves. We'll talk about that and Hainsey, but I thought if you're looking at it from a, now I might get fans a little bit disappointed here, but you're looking at it from a trade perspective, the value of some of the players on the ice today. I thought Odia, Hainsey, Slater, all look pretty good.
Yeah, all guys that are rumored or you would expect that might be on the trade block.
So it doesn't hurt your value, right?
Certainly not. Yeah. Exactly right. The Jets managed to take the lead and score the eventual game-winning goal at the 9:47 mark of the second period.
Yes.
Brian Little, his 13th of the year, with assist to Blake Wheeler and Johnny Oduya. Really, talking about speed, like we mentioned,
yes.
It all started with Oduya. Oduya with a great breakout pass.
Yep.
To Little.
Yep.
Little hits Blake Wheeler cross ice coming down the wing with speed in motion, tape to tape. Wheeler charges hard at the net, takes a shot, saved by Gustafsson. Rebound, Little jumps on and puts it into an empty net. But it's all based on speed first and foremost.
And Little following to the net.
Yeah.
And Wheeler creating that space, going to the net and getting a shot on net and not hitting the goalie over.
That's
another thing he seems to do. He wasn't as tight as usual because the defenseman, and I'm forgetting who the defenseman was there, if I can take a look.
I think it was Cody Franzen, who's not the most fleet of foot. Yes, I believe it was Cody Franzen. Or it might have been Lyles, one of the two. Either way, Lyles isn't the strongest defenseman. Franzen isn't the fastest defenseman. We either got the edge. You know how they talk about the edge in football?
Yeah.
We either got the edge. And with getting the edge, he wasn't cutting it close to the goalie. And that puck, so he gets a nice, tries to tuck it around him, rebound, puck out, scores.
And you had both Andrew Ladd, who doesn't get on the score sheet on the play, but he was crashing in that
he
hard
drove
also.
That too. That's right.
So you have Ladd and Little crashing down at hard, and simply Little beat, I'm not sure who was supposed to be checking him on the play right now, but Little beat him to the puck and he shoots it into the open
that's
net.
Right.
I mean, it turned out to be the game-winning goal. But really, and from then on, the Jets, I thought, sort of controlled the flow of the game at that point.
You know what, Drew, I would agree with you. After that point, I thought the Jets, especially, you know, I will say this. Toronto had some chances at the end of the second there.
Yeah.
But then when you get into the third period.
So the Jets really controlled the course of the play at that point on.
And they controlled the play in the third period, Drew.
That's right.
When you're up a goal, you don't sit back. They took it to them. I thought the Jets had better chances in that period. The only chance, and we would be remiss if we didn't mention this.
Yeah.
Joey Crabbe comes out of the box.
Yeah.
And sorry? You know what? Let's see. We got Dave Manuk over here.
Dave Manuk of illegalcurve.com is heckling the Illegal Curve postgame podcast.
Overstepping his bounds.
Yeah.
While he works on the audio on the morning papers for tomorrow. But you know what? Drew, so Joey Crabbe pops out of the penalty box and he makes a nice drop pass to Matthew Lombardi, one of the fastest skaters in the league. Matthew Lombardi cuts around the corner, and he has basically a breakaway on Andre Pavlik. It's the game right there. That's
right.
The game. He tries to go back down 5-4. Pavlik stops him. Jets didn't look back. No real chances after that.
And you really look to the end of the game, the last 90 seconds where the Leafs really, you know, wanted to get Jonas Gustavsson out of the net. The Jets forecheck. The Leafs didn't get past the red line with the last 90 seconds of the game.
You had Dustin Buffon up there. People are going crazy. But what you had is you had Jim Slater covering for Buffon, then cutting through the middle to take away a pass. Jimmy Slater played another great game today, one of the more underrated players on this team. And I think going to have serious value on the trade market.
Well, he's an unrestricted free agent, and he is going to be an interesting character if he keeps playing the way he did.
He's played like that all year, basically.
Yeah, of course, he's been very valuable to this team, but if he is a UFA, and the trade deadline coming up in a little under 3 weeks, I mean, he's going to be a guy whose name is going to be there. He won't be the most sought after, but he will have definitely a strong market for a guy who skates, is responsible, and can win some draws.
That's right.
I mean, you can't go wrong with anything like that. Evander Kane returned to the lineup for the Winnipeg Jets tonight.
Wait, I think just under 14 minutes, right, Drew?
Yeah, that's what 13 minutes and 44 seconds. Yeah. That's what Claude Noel wanted to keep his time around, around the 14-minute mark.
I thought it was a fairly ineffective 14 minutes. He had some plays where he had the puck. You know what? He hasn't played in a while. Coming back from a concussion, took a big hit, a couple of big hits along the boards, but he looked like he was okay. I will say this. Alexander Bremistrov, very good game.
Yeah.
I thought that line as a whole was very good. Bremistrov, Gagnon, and Mietin.
Yeah,
I will say that I think Bremistrov drove the play there. But I thought that line overall, if your fourth line, quote unquote, it really is your fourth line, if your fourth line can go out there and really hold them, not only hold off the other team, but kind of take it to the other team, that's always an advantage.
Yeah, Bermistrov was very good on the half boards. As a guy you can see has got a lot of talent there on the half boards. And I mean, there was one shift, I believe it was in the second period, where he really controlled the play for almost, really had the Leafs pinned deep in their own in their own zone for a good, 35, 40 seconds there, just on a strict, on the cycle along the boards.
He has his drawbacks, but I thought today was a good game.
Yeah, I mean, look, his direction's only pointing up.
Another direction, Kyle Wellwood didn't play tonight because of the flu.
Yeah.
I haven't mentioned that yet.
Kyle Wellwood out a late scratch from the game. Eric Ferrick checks back in, and he probably checks back in really for only one reason. Evander Kane comes back, and Spencer Mihacek gets sent down to the minors.
I thought
the team didn't have – there's no other forwards besides Eric Fair.
And Mihacek played really well, I thought, on Sunday, and Eric Fair was pretty poor today. He did draw the penalty that Crabbe took at the end of the game. We should mention that.
Yeah.
But that overall, Fair was completely invisible, and his game is at points where you have to wonder – if they have 12 healthy forwards, he's going to have to play him. He's going to have to get a chance by an injury or something like that.
Played 12 minutes and 5 seconds.
Too much.
I mean, he played
too much.
Yeah, he played
too
some
much.
Power play time. 49 seconds of power
too
play
much.
Time.
Should not have been in the power play. That's too much.
Agreed. The only reason why I don't think normally what we've seen in the last few games is that you've seen him start up on that second line and end up on that fourth line, where him and Bremistrov will switch spots.
Play
but I believe that Bremistrov, I think I'm assuming Noel liked what he saw from Bermistrov, Mietinen, and Gagnon, so he didn't want to switch it up by putting Bermistrov up there and fared down.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's a good point.
That would be the only reason for that. But I mean, assuming Kyle Wellwood's back healthy for Thursday, I would expect Eric Fair to be back out of the lineup.
Yeah, little Ladd Wheeler. I don't think it's a line that they have to. They should worry about completely breaking up. I mean, if you have to break this guy's up to, don't confuse winning with offense.
No,
and I know the little scored, but do not confuse winning with offense. And winning 2-1, 1-0, all these games, that little wheel line can certainly be broken up. And I would like to see a little bit of movement in terms of those parts, because that line to me doesn't create enough.
Well, Jets have scored 8 goals in their last 7 games, and somehow they've won 3 of those games.
Well, and the point is, though, is exactly what I'm saying. Just because you've done that doesn't mean you can't. You need to score goals.
That's
and
right.
And if it means putting Kane back with Wheeler, I think personally that's the move you should make.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there that that line had such good success prior to all the injuries, the Kane, Little, and Wheeler line. But an important win for the Jets, especially after that bad game on Sunday in Montreal.
Like, what if you put
We'll get into that on Saturday on the regular Legal Curve Hockey Show. A win the Jets needed to have.
Yep.
They took care of business on home ice. They go back on the road Thursday against Washington.
Huge game.
They're now tied for the lead in the Southeast Division. Washington is. Yeah. So, you know, the proverbial 4-point game that the Jets will be playing. If the Jets can somehow escape with a win in a place they played well so far this year.
And the Washington team that I know won 4-0 tonight against Florida. Washington team that's not great.
No.
That is certainly not without its weaknesses.
Yeah.
And a team that can be beaten if the Jets come to play and play hard.
That's right. Thursday in Washington, then Saturday back against Pittsburgh. We'll have much more regarding the Winnipeg Jets Saturday morning on a special edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Special start time at 7 a.m. For Richard Pollock, I'm Drew Mindell, coming to you with the post-game Legal Curve post-game podcast live from the press box at MTS Center. Stay tuned for more post-game audio and reaction from both dressing rooms. Until Saturday morning, thanks for listening.